It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Have you ever wondered how certain types of wine or beer end up in one store in one city and nowhere else? Coder and journalist Jacob Quinn Sanders pursued data from the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board and came up with a project that explores this particular and peculiar alcohol situation. He calls it Boozicorns, and it maps out which unique bottles of spirits are sold in one location only in the Commonwealth. Jacob Sanders, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much for having me.
Do you have time to go out of your way to find your favorite liquor? And would you find a site like this helpful? You can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002 to join the conversation. So, Jacob Quinn Sanders, what exactly is Boozicorns? Can you describe it to us?
Sure. It is, as you said, a website backed by a web scraper that crawls over the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board's retail database every day and figures out what products, wine and spirits, not beer, that are only in one store in the entire state.
Okay. And so you took Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board data, mm-hmm. which is not the sexiest content, you turned it into a fun, interactive website. So how'd you get the idea to do this?
So it started actually with a friend of mine in Washington, D.C., who likes obscure wines, rare wines. D.C., unlike Pennsylvania, is not a state, doesn't have the same export-import rules, the same sort of bureaucracy around how products get into stores there. And so he found a nice little bottle of Croatian wine, 300 cases made in the world, $21, nothing terribly exciting, just an interesting wine. And I thought, there's no way this is available in Pennsylvania. I can't find this. And I did. It was in one store in Indiana County, 60 miles from Pittsburgh. And I wondered, now, how does that happen? You know, how does this small batch, obscure product from a country most people don't think of as making wine, which makes wonderful wine, how does it get where it is? What are the logistics behind that? What's the ordering? Like, how does that even happen in a statewide, you know, distributed monopoly bureaucracy like the PLCB? I was working at the Post-Gazette at the time and pitched a story to an editor there, Bob Batts, who said, let's make this a quest. Let's make this a journey. So a friend of mine got in a car and drove out there. And the journey actually started with going and picking up the wine and then following it backward from there. Where did it get bought? Where did it get imported? Where did the PLCB get it? How did it get there? And having found this one, I thought, how many others are there? What other sorts of, if I didn't know what I was looking for, but was just looking for something that existed like this in the world, the world of Pennsylvania, where would I find it? How would I find it? And it didn't exist.
On your website, you say Pennsylvania's weirdness allows us to explore something we otherwise couldn't. So what do you mean by that?
Sure. Pennsylvania is a control state for alcohol, which means...
No kidding.
Maybe a little bit, which means they hire the employees, they run the stores, they buy the inventory. If you buy anything, even special order, you're buying it from the PLCB, even if they had to go get it for you.
Hmm.
What that means is, you know, they're one of the largest employers in state government. They are a state bureaucracy. That means so much of their data is public. In a lot of states, that's not true. In private systems, you know, with many small stores distributed all over the place who might report tax revenues, but that's it, you couldn't look every day at the inventory of the entire state and say, well, what's where exactly?
And so I'm curious if the response has been what you anticipated.
More so than. Absolutely. It's been hilarious. It's been a week today that it's been public. I'm here for some reason that I don't fully understand. it's been a little bit overwhelming and a little bit great because, I mean, I always find it fascinating. My background is journalism, reporting and editing, telling stories. A lot of times with data, a lot of times with documents, things like that. But, you know, to give people an answer can make them interested in the question in the first place. I don't think there were a whole bunch of people wandering around Pennsylvania asking the same question that I was. But it's been fascinating to see once you can say, Oh, I do have an answer. By the way, here was my question. To see people go, oh, that's fascinating. Why did you, you know, why didn't this exist before?
Have people in other states contacted you about wanting to replicate it?
A couple of people. I've heard from Georgia. I've heard from Utah. I think a couple of other places as well.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking with Jacob Quinn Sanders. He's the creator of the Boozicorns Project, which maps out which stores have monopolies over certain types of liquor. You've left the code open for Boozicorns, providing a behind-the-scenes look on a GitHub page.
Now, yes.
First of all, can you tell us what a GitHub page is and why you decided to show how you made the site?
Sure. I mean, a couple of reasons. One, I like to be transparent. I like to show my process. You know, if people want to understand sort of how this works, or, you know, maybe I'm not doing something the best way that I could be for cleaning the data, for storing the data, for displaying the data. I'm certainly open to being accountable for my work, but also open to feedback. The other is that it's a great version control system. You know, I can't even list, you know, an eighth of the companies that use GitHub for version control. It's a way to store your code as you're developing it so that if anything terrible happens, you've got a working version to go back to.
Ben on Twitter asks, considering PLCB is supposed to provide a level of standardization, why are there Boozicorns or booze unicorns, as he puts it, in the first place?
Well, I mean, you know, there are always going to be things like that. Some of it is just the product of, you know, distribution and logistics. There's always going to be, you know, something that's about to run out in the entire state that happens to only be in one place. There were more than I thought there would be in more stores than I thought there would be. And that leads me to questions about inventory. How good is the data that even the PLCB is collecting? And that's something I've reached out to them to start to ask as well. You know, are these things that are only in one store, are they bottles that simply didn't get properly entered in at point of sale and got stolen or disappeared in the back? Or, you know, I think any number of us have had experiences at PLCB stores where we've walked in, asked for a product, and they didn't even know they had it, but their website did.
As open data becomes more common, do you think you'll see others pursuing similar projects?
I mean, I hope so. I'm a big supporter of people who want to use, you know, public data for whimsy as well as education. If you can do both at the same time, great, but not every project sort of lends itself to that. Some things are by nature much more serious. But just exploring this stuff, helping us understand where we live, how we consume, you know, food and drink is something so fundamental just to, you know, being human that I can't help but want to study it more and be fascinated by it.
We're down to just like 10 seconds, but is this the future of journalism, this kind of data-driven information that uses coding?
You know, I mean, coding is the relatively new element. Everything other than that, data has been part of journalism for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Well, it's a fascinating project, and we've been talking with the man behind Boozicorns, Jacob Quinn Sanders, who pursued data from the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board and came up with a great project. Jacob, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you again, Paul.
I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're out of time. We'll see you tomorrow.